Welcome to the Explorers Podcast. I'm Michelle Martin, and together with my husband David, we present new weekly episodes focusing on all things outdoors. We focus on camping and overlanding, people, places, and mapping. For those of you new to Explorers, our website is www.exploreoz.com. And our app is called Explorers Traveller, which you can check out on the app stores available for all platforms. Our podcast is not just about tech and maps. It's also about sharing beautiful places in our country. We chat with travel community and we want to learn from one another and share that with you. We want to introduce to you some ideas from others about living the adventurous lifestyle, and hopefully you'll find it inspirational. Subscribe to the podcast. Tune in weekly as we bring you stories, insights, and tips from extensive four-wheel drive Explorers. Explorers is more than a channel, it's a journey. So gear up for another episode and let's explore together.
All right, welcome back to the next episode of our podcast series. And earlier in our first few series, we talked about, you know, getting to the point where we started the Explorers business. Now we want to sort of go through a bit of the ins and outs of the Explorers business in the early days. So, you know, we were doing this travel and we could see that there wasn't much content available on the internet of any description for the kind of journeys and trip planning and information that we needed to do the traveling that we were doing. So we just winged it using our experiences and working our way around. Obviously, the writing of all of that and basically the documentation, which was probably started out more about what we were eating every day and where we were. As you said, nothing's it was kind changed. Of family focused and to our family and friends. Evolving that into a business obviously comes with lots of challenges. You know, where's the revenue? How are you going to fund the ongoing costs, and marketing and the other bits and pieces? As you said earlier, when we started, you know, Google didn't exist. All this stuff didn't really even happen. There was no advertising platforms. There was no monetization systems available. It was all very early on in that whole scheme of things. So,
and we had no jobs.
And we had no jobs and we had lots of costs.
And
I was still doing a bit of contracting, IT contracting, back to customers that were still in Sydney that were still bothered to ask me questions. So we were still had some revenue coming in, but how do you convert that and how do we make a business out of it? I think very early on, you know, we'd started with publishing, you know, the user interaction systems with the forum and getting some great interactions with our user base. We had our Trek Notes published, which was, you know, giving information out to people about how to move around. We quickly came along with the realization that we probably needed some sort of e-commerce platform, so we created the shop system. And in the shop system, over the years, the shop evolved and grew and shrank and expanded as we move forward. We started out pretty much with maps and books and permits, the things that, you know, everyone needed to travel with. Everyone needs a map and everyone needed books because even our internet stuff couldn't go with you, like it does today. So we started with that system, and we were a very early retailer, in Australia for, four-wheel drive and travel books. And we took on, you know, Hema Westprint and a whole load of other brands and particular products at the time.
It was even audio books. Do you remember?
Belinda audio books.
They were a great idea because people would get them on a cassette tape. They were CDs.
Were they CDs we started?
Yeah.
Only just.
Yeah, but there were all those awesome stories. But there was also things started coming out, you know, Lynn Bedell's stories. And there was lots of really interesting backstories about pioneers and historical figures that, and then they really took off because people wanted entertainment when they were in their car.
So over the years, we had access to some great products that we were able to sell. We went to GPSs, we went to ePerbs, we went to Parks Passes. The store was quite a thing.
There was 1,500 products, I remember.
It was about
our largest line of items.
Like that.
There was a lot of products.
And we sold a fair bit, enough to help support the business. Additionally, we created some additional facilities with a membership program, which we added to the website to allow some people to have higher level of access controls and more features within the app. So, the tracking didn't come until a bit later, but we created a membership system. And, you know, around about that time, we were also able to buy into things like advertising platforms from Telstra or Census. and things like that. Early on in the day, Google didn't have it. It was all run by Census.
Yep.
And we were basically buying ads from them. And at the time, it was good revenue because there wasn't a huge number of people doing it.
Yeah, we got 40 CPM.
Oh, yeah, we were getting CPM rates that you could only dream of. Now it doesn't even exist.
No.
But so we did reasonably well out of some of those things, and they helped us to keep the business running and developing the business along over the next few years, adding blog systems, more interaction tools, adding more member services. It became a bit apparent down the track that we needed to do something with online maps. You know, we had things coming out like Google Maps, were appearing on the scene at the time. So digital mapping started to become a thing. And one of the things, being in a maps and business like we were, realized that we probably needed to have something in that space. So we started by, we were already retailing the Geoscience NatMap Raster series and things like that, and using it with Aussie Explorer. Like most people back in the day, you know, we used Aussie Explorer or Figawi, or
yep,
or we'd use Garmin, the Garmin GPSs with their inbuilt tracking stuff. We tried all those things out. We had all of that stuff, and we sold products into that market. So what we first thought we would do is we'd better make sure that we had an online mapping platform. So we took what we could and produced our own. Well, we didn't have the mapping platform to start with. We created our own raster map set based on the topographic maps from Geoscience. So we basically took that data, re-engineered it, and spat it out as our own product called
under
Rio
license.
Topper. Oh, yeah, it was under license. We had a license agreement from Geoscience to use the data, and we produced our Rio Topper map set. And that was quite early. It was a raster-based product. It was based around the 2005 Geoscience product. And I think, I can't remember what vintage that was, what year exactly that we did that. Also, at the same time, we decided we needed a geo-based system of place data, place attributes and things like that. So we had another licensed product, the Geoscience Gazetteer database system, which had all the place names and points of interest and bits and pieces that we could create a database from. So we created the places database using data that we were able to source from Geoscience as well at the time. And so they were kind of the core components of moving towards our app product, you know, that we did some years later.
I do recall some of that, although you're speaking so technically advanced that I'm falling asleep here, my love. I'm sorry,
but it's
getting hard. And I know that that's because you're a developer and that's the way that you look at things and look at solutions. But I know from the user's perspective, from the traveler's perspective, it was more about, there was definitely this beginnings of using digital mapping, and there were beginnings of sat navs in people's cars, but the maps were crappy as soon as you went outback. So, you know, your Google map that appeared either on the device or in this sat nav just didn't have the outback data. So straight away there was this huge pressure on all these existing mapping companies in Australia. There was HEMA, there was Westprint, there was, you know, ourselves. It is, how do you target that? How do you give more offline detailed maps to people in this digital space that was very quickly evolving?
Being that the government had stopped.
Well, that's a really good point to highlight, isn't it?
The government stopped in 2008 producing the geoscience mapping.
So they're public mapping.
They do produce
maps still, but they don't have a public...
There's no public mapping.
Mapping, yeah. And so... coupled with that, at the same time, I recall this because I've actually done some notes, because it's all changed so quickly. Once the Apple products came onto the scene, Apple really took a hold of the market. So most people were buying iPads and phones when they came out, and Android wasn't quite as popular at the time.
Android didn't exist for years. It was created
by Google
after Nokia.
But the biggest problem, the biggest problem was that there was no way for the existing beginnings of digital maps to be used on Apple devices. Because as everybody knows, to put anything on an Apple device, you actually have to do it through an app. And it just all got quite complicated. And so whilst we were, as you mentioned before, creating these raster maps, that completely cut out all the Apple market because they couldn't access those maps. You remember that?
Well, there was no software to run them.
There was no software. So the biggest software at the time for mapping, for travellers of the time was a well-used geological survey type or surveyors type software, which I'm sure some people know the name of, Aussie Explorer. Sounds the same as us, but it's not. But that existed. But it was sort of more Windows-based and, you know, had drop-down menus and things like this, not very user-friendly in the car or if you're bouncing along. But still, that really only had limited maps that you could use in it. They had to fit into a particular format. And all of a sudden, people are buying these wonderful portable devices and not using their PC. They're using these iPads and going, oh, but I can't get maps on them. And so this is honestly the challenge that we were presented with. Through user demand, we would get phone calls and emails and phone calls and emails constantly. And we didn't like saying, no, we can't do it. They literally wanted us to make maps for Apple devices. And do you recall how long that took us to try and make a solution there? I remember that we...
Oh yeah, we went to a foreign development for a while trying to do app development.
But we weren't very trustworthy.
I took on some foreign development out of India at one point, and we spent a fair bit of money and didn't get very much. We then went looking at all the products that were available in the market already to see if we could partner with anybody or maybe buy someone out. And that didn't prove very fruitful. Mm. So one day I just sat at my desk and...
It was more than one day.
did a bit of research and found some platforms and some things that may work. And then, yeah, it wasn't one day, but a couple of days later I had made something that would load as an app that had kind of a map that kind of did something, very raw, that gave us the understanding that we actually probably could produce something. And develop an app that would do, you know, basically what we wanted. It did take a long time. I've always had this idea, and it actually involved Aussie Explorer because that was the product that we knew so well for so long. I had created in my head a solution to using Aussie Explorer with a places database and a proximity to alerts and pop-ups when you get to a certain place to tell you what to do and all that stuff.
So often we wanted that information.
We would discuss this all the time. And we sat in the car on all these trips for years and years researching, going, wouldn't it be great if we had this?
If you could just press that button and find a camp.
And and so, you know, when we actually started down the development path to create a product like the Traveller app, we had lots of preconceptions about what it should and shouldn't do, and we had a really good understanding of what it should do based on travelling around Australia and doing the things that we like to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, then we created it, then it started. And so that's how we got to the start of our Explore Us Traveller journey. So we hope you like this podcast and make sure you jump on board and subscribe and catch up with the next one where we'll talk a bit more about the app and how it actually works in the market.
Yep. So subscribe and stay tuned for the next episode. Bye.